For those of you who have a Shulchan Aruch, it'll be helpful to look at things inside. So we are in the middle of the sugya of Ohel on Shabbos. We began talking about that last time. The sugya of Ohel is paskind in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Tes Vav, mostly, which is where we're going to begin today. So the first question we're going to talk about is the role of mechitzos in terms of the iser of ohel. Are mechitzos necessary? So the Gemara in Bayon, Daf Lamed Beis, on the base, says that if you're going to make a pile of wood for some type of bonfire, so you have to be makbid to do it in a way that doesn't violate the iser of ohel. And likewise, if you're going to make a pile of barrels of wine, and the way to avoid the problem of ohel is to do it out of order, differently than you would do it during the weekday. During the weekday, you'd make the walls first and then the roof. And on Shabbos, you have to make the roof first and then the walls. I'm Rav Yehuda. Hai medurta milamala lamata shari, milamata lamala aser. So if you make it top down, in other words, roof first, then walls, let's say of this bonfire, that's mutter. If you make it walls first, then roof, so the roof of the bonfire is mahil, and therefore would be aser. V'chein biasa, v'chein kedera, v'chein puria, v'chein chavisa. So these are all examples of this same principle. Do we paskin this way? Do we paskin like this Gemara? So Rashi, Dibur Maschel, the Hilchasa, says, actually, we don't paskin like this Gemara. It's on Rashi's on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in Beitza. He says, we don't paskin like this Gemara. Why? Because it's Davar Shena Miskaven. Why is it Davar Shena Miskaven? I'm not miskaven to make an ohel. I'm simply want to make, this is on Yantif, I want to make a bonfire, right? So the structure of the bonfire may be similar to an ohel, but I have no interest in making an ohel. I just want to make a bonfire. So if you paskin like Reb Shimon, the Darshei Shem Miskaven is mutter, so then we would not accept this Gemara. And the Gemara is going like the Mandam or Darshei Shem Miskaven is aser. Now, parenthetically, you could say, well, isn't it still Psik Resha? Could be that Rashi holds that Psik Resha for Nisar Darabanan is mutter. We discussed this extensively last time when we did the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshen. I believe the Shar Melech, Chilchos Shabbos, Perek Chaf Hei, though, is Medayik, that Rashi must hold that Psik Resha and Nisar D'Rabbanan as Mutter, as you see from over here. Could only be because it's Lo Echbas Lei, though. Meaning to say, it's not just that Rashi holds that it's Nisar D'Rabbanan, so we're Matir Psik Resha, but it's Lo Echbas Lei. I couldn't care less. I have no interest in making an Ohel when I make my bonfire. So at the very least, perhaps Rashi's makel on Psik Resha d'Lelech Baslein and Isidra Abanan. Anyhow, so according to Rashi, this Gemara is Lali B'Tilchasa. Tosfos, the Rosh, and other Rishonim, though, disagree with Rashi. And they say, how could you say that? This is not a Davar Sheino Miskavein. Davar Sheino Miskavein is when I intend to do Pe'ula X and Memela Pe'ula Y happens. This really brings us back to our discussion at the very beginning of the year when we were defining what is a Davar Sheino Miskaven. Over here, that's not what's happening. Over here, I'm basically miskaven to make an ohel. I might not be interested in the ohel, but I'm miskaven to make the ohel. That's exactly what I've done. A bonfire of this sort, or the pile of barrels of wine is an ohel, and that's exactly what I made. And that's why most Rishonim reject Rashi Shita over here, and that's the way we paskin against Rashi, Shulchan Aruch Simin Shintes Vav, and take a look at Magen Avraham Sifkatan Tes. Now, it's worth thinking about for a moment what exactly this Nikudas, you know, what exactly is the Nikudas Machlokas here between Rashi and, we'll say, Tosos and the Rush. Again, let me read you the question that they ask. The question's a little more meduyuk, or at least a little easier to understand in the Rush. So I'll read you the Rush how he asks on Rashi, and then we'll try to figure out what Rashi might respond. So this is the Lashon of the Rashi. Rashi Piresh Lekaman, Dehach Milsa Alibad Reb Yehuda, De'asar She'enam Eskafein, Vanan, Kan Milan Kerebi Shimon, V'lo Nehira, De'ma Inyan Zeh Ledav She'enam Eskafein, Osa Masha Miskaven Lasos. In other words, there's no unintended consequence over here. You're doing exactly what you want. It's true. You're not miskaven for binyan. We call makom miskaven hulasos davar dama lebinyan. But you are intending to make this structure for your bonfire that looks like a binyan, that's shaped like an ol, and therefore it's aser. So what would Rashi say back? Rashi seems like he's saying that no, my intent here is to make a pile, let's say, of wine barrels. A consequence is that I'm going to be mahil, but it's davar she'enam eskafein and it's mutter. Meaning, and what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, no, the pile of barrels is an ohel. So if you want a pile of barrels, then you want an ohel. So what's Rashi saying? No, Rashi is saying the iser is to be mahil. And therefore, it's true that I may be mahil, but I have no intention to be mahil. That is a perhaps inevitable consequence of my making my barrels of wine. So perhaps they're arguing about the nature of the iser. Is the iser to be mahil? In which case, we could see this as a davar she'enam eskafein, because I have no kavana to be mahil. I have a kavana to just make a pile of wine barrels. Or is the iser not to be mahil, it's to create the structure of an ohel, in which case I'm the chavein to create a structure of the ohel. So that perhaps is the debate, but either way, as we said, we accept the view of Tosfos. Now Tosfos asks an interesting question, which is, Tosos over there, and Bates asked this, also Tosos Shabbos Lamed Vav on the base, says, well, if this is correct, you can't make a pile of barrels of wine, because that's an ohel, so then why are you even allowed to put a pot back onto the kira? After all, remember, how did their kiras look like? Their stoves had a hole on the top, and there was fuel on the inside, and the pot would either fit into the hole or rest on top of the hole. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about when hafzara is mutter, but you're allowed to do hafzara, assuming your conditions are met, it's garfa katam, etc. But one second, when you place the pot back on that kira, you're now creating an ohel, because the pot is resting on top, filling up the hole, and that should be just like making the pile of barrels of wine. So why is that mutter? Tosus answers, well, we only aser making an ohel if you also made the mechitzos on Shabbos. And therefore, in this case, when the mechitzos were already there before Shabbos, right? Because my kira, my stove, was already set up before Shabbos. So when I put back the pot, I am making the roof, but I haven't made the walls. The walls were there before Shabbos. So then there is no iser. And that's Tosus's big chiddush, big kula. The only time it's aser to make an ohel on Shabbos is if A, you make the walls, and B, you then make the roof. So if I'm making a pile of barrels of wine, so there I'm making the walls first, if I put the lower barrels first, and then I make the roof when I put the upper barrel on top. You know, let's imagine your pile of barrels of wine is shaped like a pyramid or something. So there I've done both steps. I first made the walls, then I made the roof. That's when it's aser. But if there are no walls, Or there are walls, but they were there before Shabbos. Or you even made the walls on Shabbos, but you first put up the roof and then you made the walls. In all those cases, it would be mutter. Then Toso says, well, one second. We do seem to find places where we are machmir when there's just a roof and there aren't walls. So this is a contradiction. And the Rush says the same thing. The Rush says the same Chiddush as Tosfos more or less. And he asks the same type of question. And we're going to see their answer. So this is a little bit technical. So let's, but it's important to get so we could understand these halachos. So again, both Tosfos and the Rush have the same principle that there's only an Isser when you made the walls on Shabbos. And then you first made the walls, then you made the roof. They both ask a question. And they both give an answer. Interestingly enough, they ask us a different question and they give a different answer. And the reason why we have to pay close attention here is because we have to see which one we paskin like. Do we paskin like Tosfos? Do we paskin like the Rush? We'll see their nafkaminas. So Tosfos asks Akasha from the Sugya in Shabbos by Parvanka. That was some type of cloth that they would put on top of a barrel to cover it. And there's an Isser over there, even though you're not making the walls on Shabbos. You had this barrel before Shabbos. You put the cloth on the barrel, and now it's Usser, even though the walls were already there before Shabbos. That would seem to contradict Tosfos' ruling that it is mutter if the walls were already set up before Shabbos. And the Rush asks Akasha from Erevin. There we're talking about a fellow who puts some type of canopy, shade for his animals in the sun. At night, the animals are under the moon. It's better for them to be in the open skies. But in the morning, he wants to put out the shade to protect the animals from the sun. And the Gemara basically says, that's Usser, except if he already left a tefach open from before Shabbos, the Gemara in Erevin. So both of these cases take for granted that there's an Isser even either without walls or where the walls were already made before Shabbos. And that undermines the kula that Tosfos was machadesh to explain why you're allowed to put the pot on the kira. So first let's look at Tosfos' answer to the question. Tosfos answers, Deshani hasam ha'ol v'rachav hakuba yosir midai nase ke'ohel. This Parvanka case, where you're putting a cloth or some sort on top of the barrel. It's a very wide rachav hakupa yoser midai, and then it's aser. So Tosa says, really, I agree. Normally, you need to make the walls on Shabbos to be aser, and that's why kira's mutter. But when it's very wide, so wide, it's more like an ohel, it's aser. Of course, that is a very undefined shear. Rachav yoser midai, very wide. How many inches is that? Tosfos doesn't tell you. We'll have to return to that question when we get to the poskim. One would wonder, for example, according to Tosfos, is it mutter to cover a garbage can on Shabbos? Right? Let's say you have an outside garbage can. Inside garbage cans, we'll say that's not rachav yoser midai. That's, you know, inside garbage cans, they're probably, usually anyway, their covers flip up and down. But an outside garbage can, that could be, I don't know, probably 2.5 feet in diameter if it's a big one. And let's assume that the cover to the garbage can detaches, right? You want to cover the garbage on Shabbos. You don't want the raccoons to get into your garbage. Is that mutter? One wonders, according to Tosfos. Maybe a barrel's aser. Maybe rachav akuba yoser midai. Maybe a garbage can is like a barrel. It's too very wide. So that's a question that we would have to wonder, according to Tosfos. How does the Rush answer this question? Again, this is the Rush. It's in Beitza, Perek Dalet, Simen Yud Aleph. And he gives two answers. He doesn't quite present them as two answers, but the post can read the Rush as sort of saying two points, as we'll see in a Magen Avraham. The first thing he says is Shani dehave binyan chashev. In the case, again, Tosis was asking, Rosh was asking from the case of Erevin. The case of Erevin was that canopy for the animals. And that is a binyan chashev. So this is also a very undefined type of answer. Rosh is basically saying in this first point that usually if the walls were made before Shabbos, or there are no walls, it's going to be mutter, except when it's a binyan chashev. How do you define binyan chashev? Very hard to know. The Karban Esanel over there, Os Yud, says that, well, we'll get back to that. That's his first answer. The second answer, or moreover, he says, V'gam ikar kavanaso lasias ohel, which means to provide shade. Avobinian arai kazeh lo mikri ohel below machitzos. So this answer, the second part of the Rosh's answer, is finally an answer that we could actually understand, because he's not giving sort of an undefined term like binyan chashev, such that I wonder what in the world is a binyan chashev, but rather he's giving us a pretty straightforward definition. It depends when it's meant for sale. In other words, the case of the Gemara in Erevin, where they are putting the roof, the canopy, on top of the animals, well, what's the purpose of the canopy over the animals? The answer is so that the animals don't dehydrate from the sun or whatever it is, right? So anytime I am trying to provide actual shade, be it from the sun, be it from the rain, so then it's usher regardless. It's usher regardless. Whereas in the cases like the Gemara and Beitza about the pile of barrels of wine or the bonfire structure, those cases, I'm not interested in shade, right? I'm not trying to provide shade underneath the upper barrels. They're just making a structure that resembles an ohel, but there's no inyan of shade over there. So if it's not an inyan of providing shade, then it's mutter. So going back to our questions, do you need mechitzos to be usher or not? Well, it depends. If it's very wide, according to Tosos, you don't need mechitzos. But if it's not wide, you do need mechitzos. According to Rush, you need mechitzos. Normally you don't need mechitzos, but if it's chashev / tzel, then you do need mechitzos. That's what he writes. So basically what Tosis and Rosh are both agreeing is, generally speaking, you need mechitzos, but sometimes it could be usher even without mechitzos. Sometimes you could even be usher without mechitzos. So part of the reason why the Rosh and Tosis give different types of answers is because you see they're asking from a different place. So the question is slightly different. So they have to give slightly different answers. So now let's take a look. I see, Moshe, you have a question. Let's just read on a little more in terms of the Shulchan Aruch, and then I'll try to take your question. Maybe we'll get a little more clarity. Let's take a look at how we paskin. So let's take a look at Sif Gimel. If you could open up your Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tesvav, Sif Gimel. Mita kishem amidin osa asur lahaniach haraglayim tchila ulahaniach aleim akrashim. When you're setting up your bed, you can't put the legs first and then the roof, the mattress. Eliyasim hakrashim tchila be'avir v'achar kach haraglayim. Rather, you should make the roof first, the mattress or the mattress board, and then the legs. V'hani mili that is true when the bed is held up by walls, like boards, planks, kimo dofna teva, structured similar to a chest. Aval raglayim shel mito shelanu, but our beds that are held up by legs, but not planks. V'chein ragle ha-shulchan, and likewise with respect to a table, mutter b'chol gavni, it's mutter regardless. Why? There are no walls. In other words, Tosfos Sif Gimel is paskening like the basic chiddush of Tosfos, that there's only an iser when you make the walls and the roof on Shabbos, and moreover, you first make the walls, then the roof. So when it comes to a table or a bed, could you set up a table or a bed on Shabbos? So the answer is, and we're not here talking about something that's like a folding table where you might have the heter, like we talked about last time about Kisei Traskal. We're talking about here where it's, they're not takua, but they're also not set up in advance. So the Shulchan Aruch says, well, it depends. If your table has walls or your bed has walls, then it would be usser to first put up the walls and then the bed. You'd have to first put up the bed and then put the walls underneath. But if your table or your bed has legs, like our tables and beds, so then it would be mutter. So we see that he's accepting the kula of Tosos. Now that's very significant, as we'll see in a moment, because the Rashba, Pashtos and the Rashba, he disagrees with Tosos. He thinks that it could be asur even without walls. So the Shulchan Aruch of Gimel is paskening like the kula of Tosos. Now, the problem is, what about Sif Beis, and also for that matter, Sif Yud Gimel, where we see it's Aser even without Machitza. So let's take a look back at Sif Yud Beis. Eitzin, Shetoken Roshan Ha'echad Bedofen Hasfina, the Kofifin Roshan Hasheni Al Shal Hasfina, Parson Machatzela Salehen Letzel, Im Yesh Berach Van Tefach, O Afilu Ein Berach Van Tefach, So here the Shulchan Aruch says, well, if you want to make some type of canopy on Shabbos, like on a boat, so if you're laying the canopy initially, then it's aser, even though presumably there are no walls. However, if the canopy is less than a tefach wide, then it's mutter, like we saw last time. Or if it's more than a tefach wide, but you could apply lavud, then it's mutter. Or if you already opened it up a tefach before Shabbos, not including the kricha, it's mutter. But otherwise, it's aser. In other words, what do we see in Sif Beis? We see over here that there is an iser of making this type of canopy, like on a boat, on Shabbos, even though there are no walls. So we have a stira. Again, Sif Beis tells me it's aser without walls. Sif Gimel says it's mutter without walls. How do we resolve that? So the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Zayin, let's take a look at it, addresses this question. What does he write? Mutter b'chol gavni, that's going on Siv Gimel, it's mutter without walls. Deino b'lo mechitzos, like Tosa says, there's no such thing as an Israel without mechitzos. V'af al gavdi b'machatzeles, asur b'lo mechitzos, I, in the case of the machatzeles, putting up some type of mat for shade, is asur without mechitzos, that was the din of Sif Beis. Hasam have binyan chashur. Begam Iker Kavanaso Laasos Ohel. Who's he quoting to answer this question? The Rush. The answer to the question is the Rush. There's some background noise over here, so I'm just going to mute everybody, but feel free to unmute yourself if you'd like to ask a question. So the Magen Avraham is asking the question from Sif Beis, and his answer is the Rush. So that's the psak of the Magen Avraham, it would seem. The answer to the question that we had before, the stira between Sif Beis and Gimel, is the Rush. And again, what was the Rosh's answer? The Rosh had a two-part answer. It's Asar if it's Binyan Chashuv. And notice how he sort of is interpreting the Rosh. V'gam ikar kavanaso lasos oel etzel. So to be Asar without walls, you need A, Binyan Chashuv, B, ikar kavanaso lasos ohel. That is what's required for the Magen Avram. Now let's take a look at the Gra. In my edition, it's the Gra on Sif Gimel. In my edition, it's Sif Katan Yudalid. So the Gra first notes that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like Tosfos. And then he writes, the Af al Gavda b'Sif Beis v'Sif Yud Gimel Mashma de'Aser. It implies in Sif Beis and Yud Gimel that it's Aser even without Mechitzos. Sham kavanaso lehol. There, it's different because you're mechavein lehol. And then he cites the Magen Avraham. He says, I am Magen Avraham. It seems to me that what the Gra is saying is much simpler. There's one factor. This is not exactly what the Rosh says, or any Rishon, as far as I know, explicitly, but it's certainly the easiest answer. The most elegant, simple answer. Why is it easier than all the answer of Tosfos, the answer of the Rosh? Because he doesn't give any of these vague, undefined things like Binyan Chashuv, right? The Rosh and Magen Avraham say it's Aser if it's Chashuv. What in the world is Chashuv? Tosfos says it's Aser if it's very big. What in the world does very big mean? The Gra says it's very simple. If you're intending to be mahil, to provide shade from the sun, from the rain, then it's aser, regardless of whether there are walls. If that's not your kavana, then it's mutter. This, by the way, would help explain, and the Korban Nisana also makes this point, why the case of the hat is aser because of ohel. We're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes. The Gemara says that under certain circumstances, wearing a hat could be aser on Shabbos. And according to a number of Rishonim, as we shall see, as well as the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, it's aser because the when the brim of the hat provides shade. Now, obviously, there are no walls in that case, right? There's just the brim. And nevertheless, it's aser. Why would that be? It's not that wide, right? Like the Toso says, it's rachav midai. You know, it needs to be a tefach to be aser. Rachav midai means like, I don't know, 10 tefachim, 2 amos, right? Nobody wears a hat with a brim that's 3 feet, 4 feet. And it's not particularly chashav, it's not a binyan chashav. But if you learn like the Gra, it's very easy to understand. Why is it aser? Because the whole, it's aser when the purpose of the brim is to provide shade. We'll talk about in a couple minutes if that applies to a Borsellino, where the brim is probably more about style than shade. But, you know, if you have, I don't know, a farmer's hat or maybe a large baseball hat, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, then there, you know, where the purpose of the brim is to provide shade, so even though it's not a binyan chashuv, even though it's not... it's not rachav yoser midai, it's still aser, because lemaisa, it's meant to be mild. It's meant to provide shade from the sun. The Korban Nisanal actually says that the Rosh, he reads the Rosh a little differently than the Magen Avraham, that either one of those conditions is enough to be aser. And the reason why the Rosh gave his second answer of kavanas alahil is to address that case of the hat. That's the way the Korban Nisanal reads it. But leaving that aside, so alach lemaisa, if we are following the Gra, so then the answer is, normally it's only aser if there are walls made on Shabbos, with one basic exception, at least that we know of so far, and that is kavanaso lehol, where your kavana is to provide shade. Now let's take a moment to skip to Sif Zion. Siv Zayin says like this: Motar laniach sefer echad mikan, ve'echad mikan, ve'echad al gabehen. Haga ha'wil ve'enot sarach la'avir shetachtehen. So over here, you're making a structure out of svarim. You're making walls and then a roof. So it should be usher on Shabbos. It should be usher, according to Tosfos. But it's mutter. And why is it mutter? Because you don't need the avir shetachtehim. Now, this is coming from the Rashba. The Rashba holds that there's another condition to make ohel usher. And that is, you need the airspace underneath the ohel. If you don't need the airspace underneath the ohel, then there is no isser. Now, if you actually look at the Rashba, and it's cited in a Beis Yosef, the Rashba is a chumra and a kula, but we're just quoting the kula of the Rashba. What do I mean to say? The Rashba is a chumra. He says that if you need the airspace, it's also even without mechitzos. The Rashba rejects this answer of Tosos. Tosos says it's only usher on Shabbos when you have walls. Rashba says, what about good? How do you explain good? If you remember good, we talked about that last time. That was that funny canteen that they would spread out and the air would go underneath it to keep the wine cool. And over there, presumably there are no mechitzos. And yet it's usher on Shabbos. So the Rashba asks, how could Tosos say you need mechitzos? It's mevur, by good, you don't need mechitzos. So the Rashba answers, no, actually, you don't need mechitzos to be asr. And how does he answer Tosos's kasha? Why is it different than Kiran? His answer is, it's only asr if you need the airspace. Now, therefore, Rashba is a chumra as well as a kula. It's a kula, like in the case described in Siv Zayin, where you have walls and a roof, but you don't need the area underneath it, like the Svarim fortress, then that's mutter, regardless, even though you made walls and roof on Shabbos. That's the kula. But the chumra is that if you do need the airspace underneath it, it's also even without walls. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, interestingly enough, accepts the kula of the Rashba without the chumra of the Rashba. The reason for that, more or less, is because he's not actually paskening like the Rashba. He's paskening like the Rashba b'shem Tosfos. The Rashba b'shem Tosfos holds both the leniency of the Rashba and the leniency of Tosfos. So it turns out, then that's mutter, even if there are walls, if you don't need the airspace underneath it. Well, I have a question. Shulchan Aruch said, for example, in Siv Gimel, that for a bed, if you did have walls, it's aser, right? If you're constructing your bed on Shabbos, so you first put up the walls of the bed, and there are walls, not like our beds, there are walls. And then you put on the mattress, it would be aser. Why? You don't need the avir shetachtav. Doesn't Siv Zayin say it's only aser if you need the avir shetachtav? So the answer is, clearly, that no, and the Rashba actually spells this out, that in a bed you do use the avir shetachtav. How so? People store their shoes under the bed. They put who knows what. They put their trunks, their mattresses under the bed. You know, you have to be careful. Don't put too much food under your bed. But the answer is that you're using the space underneath it. You are tzarech la'avir shetachtav. And therefore, the heter of the Rashba, Siv Zayin, isn't relevant for the bed. So that is basically what comes out. So let's just review. If we put all these Sifim together, and then I'll take your question, Bli Neder Yosef, and also Moshe, your question. If we put these Sifim together, in order to be Usher, what do you need for Ohel? So condition number one, question number one you have to ask yourself is this meant to provide shade or not? If it's meant to provide shade, then it's usher regardless. So in the case of, you know, a sun canopy or something like that, a rain canopy, it's meant to provide shade. There's nothing to talk about it's aser. Regardless of walls or chashivas or anything else. If the answer, that's question one you have to ask yourself. The answer is no, it's not meant to provide shade. Again, let me just clarify. Providing shade is not the same thing as asui lishtamesh ba'avir shetachtav. In the case of my bed, where I keep my shoes under my bed, it's not the pshat that my bed is providing shade for my shoes, right? Unless I'm, the roof of my house is providing me shade. It's not raining into my house, right? It's just a convenient place to keep my shoes is under my bed. So that's going to be asui lishtamesh ba'avir shetachtav, even though it's not mahil, it's not asui lahagein mipnei achama o mipnei hashamim. So again, question number one to ask yourself is whether or not this is coming to provide shade. The answer is yes, then it's also you may not do it on Shabbos unless it's less than a tefach, or it is already opened up a tefach from before Shabbos, or the like. If the answer is no, so then it's only going to be aser if three conditions are met. Number one is that you first made the mechitzos and then you made the roof. But if you made the roof and then the mechitzos, it's mutter. How many mechitzos, by the way? The Torah says four mechitzos. The Taz says, actually, it must be that you only need two mechitzos. The Rai is from Chavios in Sivav, where he assumes there's only two mechitzos. So he thinks a mita would be asura even without four mechitzos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that in Sif Katan Chaf Beis. By Shulchan, though, it's dafka four mechitzos, like the Torah says, because otherwise, mistama, it's not asui l'shtamish tachtav. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah and especially Dirshun Note 52. So again, condition number one to be asur is it needs walls and roof, and moreover, first walls, then roof. That's condition two, I would say. Condition one, it needs walls and roof to be asur. Condition two, it's only asur if you first build a wall, then the roof. Condition number three is, based off of Siv Zayin, that it's tsarich la'avir shetachtav, like we said, putting your shoes under the bed. But if it's not asui la'avir tachtav, then even though there are walls, and even though there are roof, and even though you built the wall before the roof, it's still going to be mutter. Sometimes it is tricky to know what we define as tsarich la'avir shetachtav. For example, I would have thought that a table is considered tsarich la'avir shetachtav, because you put your legs under the table, right? If you were ever sitting at a dining room table and trying to eat, but there is no space to put your legs, you'll notice it's very uncomfortable to sit because you can't put your legs under the table. But if you look at Rosh Shlomo Zalman, which is quoted in Dirshu Note 52, he argues that that's not considered Hishtamshus Tachtav because it's Noach Lo Shiya Tachtav Ve'ein Zeh Hishtamshus Be'etzem. It's more comfortable, but you're not actually using it. And therefore, he argues that a shulchan is only asur if there's dalad mechitzos. So I will not try to answer that question, only to acknowledge that that condition, that third condition, based on the Rashba, is sometimes hard to define. So,
I mean, Lachar, also you could ask from the cases in Beitza, like, is a box fire, you need the avir shetachtav?
I assume fire. The answer is yes in that case, because that's where your fire is, right? When you make a bonfire, the box fire, right, that you light the fire on the inside. It's not just like a fire on the outside of the fire. That's where the coals are. So I would assume that actually is. That's a more clear-cut case of mishtamesh ba'avir shetachtav.
But what about the regular case of kira, meaning over there, if I wanted this just to be anywhere, so I would.
No, that is also avir shetachtav. I don't know. That's where you keep your coals. That's where the source of heat is. So you're mishtamish ba'avir shetachtav.
But I thought the Rashba has to explain how that would be mutter.
The Rashba, again, works, but accepting the cool of the Rashba and Tosos. So we're accepting the cool of Tosos, that kira is mutter, because the mechitzos are suyos kfar. And we'd also accept the cool of the Rashba, as I said, because we're accepting.
But what does the Rashba himself say?
Not the Rashba himself. We're not. That's
what right, I was but what would the Rashba himself say for the Kira then?
I know your question. Just give me one more minute. Let me just finish the basic rules, and then I want to hear your question. Okay. Now, so therefore, if you made the mechitzos before Shabbos, or you made the roof first and then the walls, then it would be, or you don't need the agar shetachtav, all those cases are mutter. Now, all these leniencies are only when we're talking about arai. But if this is an ol keva, which is a deraisa shayla, as we saw last time, bein kach, it's going to be aser. Now, are there any other exceptions? So we're going to get to this in a moment, but when we see Sif Yud Gimel and Magen Avram Chaf Aleph, it sounds like he's choshish for Tosfos Shita as well, that if it's Rachav Harbe, Rachav Yoser Midai, it's Aser, even without these conditions being met. In other words, even though the walls were made before Shabbos, even though it's not Aser Le'echol, that's what's needed to explain Parvanka, and so we're going to have to go back to that question to define it. For the Gra, we probably don't accept that he would think it's mutter because it's only usher when it's kavanas oleho, and the Gra would say that Sif Yud Gimel is considered kavanas oleho, because when you put the baguette on the chavis, you put it parvanka, in other words, that's meant to prevent things from falling into the barrel. We'll read Sif Yud Gimel in just a moment. Now, there are a number of Rishonim, like I said, the Rashba, the Ravid, Rabbeinu Yonah, who say that Sif Yud Gimel's Usser, we'll get there in one moment. I want to take Moshe's question because it's Mechzi Kemishameres, but we paskin like the Rambam, Rach, Rashi, Tosfos, Tur, that it's Usser because of Mahil on the Gigis, on the barrel. Okay, so before we get to Sif Yud Gimel, let me take Moshe's interjection. Go ahead.
Okay. A few different points. Number one, I don't understand the Havamina why a Kira should be a problem, because you don't really need the airspace underneath. If you have coals in the Kira all the way up to the pot.
The only shail of the Kira is when there's a tefach of airspace in between the coals and the pot, which there would be, especially if you're just putting the pot on top of the Kira and not sinking it in.
Yeah, I know, but do you need the airspace? It just happens to be you don't have...
You are using the... What I think the Rashba means is it's usher when you're using the area below the roof. And if you're making use of that area, like that's where the heat is generated from the coals, then it would be a problem. We'll get back to that. Was the question. Okay. How does Rashba deal with the Kira question?
Okay, Emily, that was number one. Number two, I have a suggestion of what Tosos may mean when it says Rachov Yoser Midai.
Yeah.
Because in order to provide sail, if you only have a narrow roof, then you need walls to complete the sail aspect. In other words, it can be raining in from the side or the sun can shine from the side. But if the roof is very, very broad, then even without walls, you'll be protected.
No, but Tosfos is explaining Rachov Yoser Midai to explain specifically the case where there are walls before Shabbos and it's still Usser. In other words, he makes that suggestion to explain why Parvanka is Usser. Parvanka is a barrel where you put a cloth on top. So Toso says, why should that be Usser? The mechitzos were made before Shabbos. And Tosos answers, the reason why that's Usser is because even though the walls were made before Shabbos, and I said, generally speaking, walls before Shabbos is mutter, here it's Aser because it's Rachav Yoser Midai. He's not addressing the question that the Rush asked, which was a question of a roof without walls. He's answering a question of walls from before Shabbos.
Well, maybe with the Pravanka, the you don't really need the walls for the provided sail. That's what I'm suggesting. As a possibility. All right. Anyway, finally, what does Shlomo Zalman Auerbach mean when it says you're not using the space underneath the table, put your legs there?
It means that It's just for comfort as opposed to actually using it. I had a hard time with that chiluk. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so let's just turn to Sif Yud Gimel for a moment to try to round this out. So Sif Yud Gimel. Beged sheshotchen al pi achavis. So this is the Parvanka case. You spread a cloth on top of a barrel, l'chasoso, to cover it. Lo yishtachanu al pene kulo. Don't cover the entire thing, mishem oel. Ela, yaniach k'tas mimen magula, leave it partially uncovered. Bahani mili, kishahakuba, chesera tefach. This is aser when the barrel is not in full, almost to the top. Avalmena chesera tefach, if there's more than a tefach, if there's less than a tefach, in other words, the wine fills almost the entire barrel, then it's mutter de'en kanalo. There's no issue at all. So that's the psak. So this is l'chora, based off of Tosfos, or that rachav. Well, if you learn like Tosfos, the reason for this is because it's rachav yoser midai, and it's aser, even though the walls were made before Shabbos. If you learn like the gra, that we basically say it's only talui in the question of whether you're mahil or not. The reason why it's aser is because here it would be mahil, because you don't want the stuff to fall into your wine, I guess. A little trickier, yeah. Now, the question is, what is the shear of rachav yosem yidai? The Magen Avraham cites Tosfos. Magen Avraham says the reason for this halacha is ha'il ve'akuba rachava yosem yidai. So according to the Magen Avraham, we accept the answer of Tosfos. Anytime it's rachav yosem yidai, even though the walls were made before Shabbos, we have to aser it. So what is considered rachav yosem yidai? So if you look at note 94 in the Dershu, he says, well, the cover of a garbage can, a normal garbage can, is mutter. That's not rachav yosem yidai. I don't know what a normal garbage can is for the Dershu people, which are probably Eretz Yisrael. I will point out that some garbage cans, again, the outdoor type garbage cans in Chutz La'aretz, are quite wide. It seems a little strange to me that the barrels of wine that they're talking about were that much wider than a large outdoor type garbage can. So Tzarech Ian on that question. Now, what about L'maisa, the Velt is Makel? And we assume, for reasons that aren't so clear to me, that our garbage cans are not sufficiently wide. Now, it's not a crazy kula, because as we saw just a couple of minutes ago, many, many other Rishonim don't hold of that chumra of rachav yoser midai. For example, if we hold of the gra, it's only mut, it's only aser if it's nases lehol, to provide shade. In the case of the garbage cans, the primary reason for the cover is not to provide shade. Maybe that's a little bit of it, but really it's just to keep it covered, as I said, usually because you don't want it to smell, or you don't want the animals, the raccoons to get into it or the like. What about, though, there's a different question that we have to ask over here.
Rebbe?
Yeah, just one second.
Okay, sure.
A different question, which is, what about, this is, you only need rachav yosem yidai if the walls are there from before Shabbos. But if you made the walls on Shabbos, then we know that according to Tosfos, even if it's not rachav yosem yidai, it's still aser. Well, what about the following shaila? The walls were there before Shabbos, but they weren't here before Shabbos because you moved it. Is that considered making walls on Shabbos, in which case it would be aser even if it's not rachav yosem yidai? Or is it considered as though the walls were here before Shabbos, in which case it would be mutter, assuming it's not Rachav Yoser Midai. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, Memches, is machmir on that Shaila. And that presents a very important question, which is, why are you allowed to cover a pot on Shabbos? So let's read the Mishnah Berurah. Assuming you move the pot from its place at the beginning of Shabbos. In other words, assume if you didn't move the pot from the beginning of Shabbos, it would only be aser as Rachav Yoser Midai. Okay, I think typically our pots at home are probably not Rachav Yoser Midai. You know, maybe those giant pots in the industrial kitchens, there'd be what to talk about. Maybe you could think about it. If, you know, sometimes those very large aluminum disposable dishes, not the small types, the double pans, could be considered Rachav Yoser Midai. Though typically over there, you won't have the tefach of airspace. They're barely a tefach tall, the walls in the first place. And since you usually have stuff in it when you're covering it, it would probably be okay. But let's say it's not Rachav Yoser Midai, but you moved your pot. You moved your pot. Do we say, well, it's still mutter because there are walls that existed at the beginning of Shabbos? Or do you say, no, since the walls weren't here at the beginning of Shabbos, it's also to cover the pot? So as I said, the Mishnah Berurah seems like he's machmer on his shayla. Sif katan memches, I'll read it to you. Let's say you moved your pot from one place to another. And in that second place, you wish to cover it. Aser b'chol gavni. That's aser, even if it's not Rachav Yoser Midai. Dehave al yedei hamadaso ki'ilu osa mechitza im kisa b'yachad. By putting it down and then covering it, it's like making the walls and then the roof, and therefore it's aser. L'achein sarach lizar besudos gedolos sheminichan shulchanos al chavios. The olden day version of a folding table would be the following. They would take barrels and put a board on top of them. So he says that's a problem. Tzrichim lizayar, shiyafoch tzad hachavis hapasuach letzad hakarka. You can't put the fold, again, we're talking about an open barrel. So on the bottom of the barrel, there's a floor, but on the top of the barrel, there's no roof. So you can't put the table on top of the barrel. Rather, what must you do? Rather, you should do it the other way. You should put the barrel facing down. Letzad hakarka, veltzad hasasim, and then the closed area, yaniach hashulchan. He quotes from Chaye Adam. Now, I wasn't understanding that anyway, because I would have thought it's certainly not a case of asui lishtamesh be'aviro, because you're not being, you know, this is an empty barrel, obviously. Unless maybe he's only asuring it if it's a barrel that's partially full. If it's totally full, it would also be okay. It means that you can't take a barrel that's half full and move it from one place to another and then put a table on top to cover it, because even though the walls existed before Shabbos, but the walls didn't exist here, and therefore it's aser. Though he notes that, okay, you shouldn't be mocha and the mekilim, because there are many rishonim that deny this whole iser. He writes that the Ravid and the Rashba say anyway this whole sugya of parvanka is only aser because it's nira kemishamer, it has nothing to do with this or ohel. And therefore, obviously, one to apply to putting a table on top of a barrel. So, the nachon l'hachmir kadasa shulchan aruch, sheyesh harbe rishonim, that are machmir. And certainly, if it's a very big one, it should be a problem. But, anogim l'hakel, ein limchos biyadam. Does everybody hold of this chumrah that when you move it to a new place, it's like making the walls from scratch? Answer is no. The Chazon Ish is Mako. Chazon Ish is quoted in Orcho Shabbos Perek Tes Sif Simen Chaf, as well as in Dirshu Note 96, that moving the barrel with its walls is not like making new walls. And therefore, this would be okay. So why is this all relevant? As I said, this is very relevant if you want to figure out, am I allowed to cover my pot on Shabbos? Am I allowed to cover my pot on Shabbos? So if it's Rachav Harbe, then it's also regardless, according to Shulchan Aruch. Let's assume typically our pots aren't Rachav Harbe. Though it's not so clear, as I said, what Rachav Harbe means. But certainly our pots at home, you can make the case, aren't Rachav Harbe. Fine. But even if it's not Rachav Harbe, if you moved it mimakom lemakom, as we often do, so then it would be usher if you follow the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch as understood by the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, I go ahead, I leave my pot of chicken soup on my hot plate, and then I move it off to serve, right? I don't want to serve the chicken soup on the hot plate. I'm afraid of Hagasa. I move it to the counter. I uncover it. I take my chicken soup. Now I want to cover it up again so it stays hot. There's more than a tefach from the pot cover to the chicken soup. According to Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like it should be aser. According to Chazon Ish, it would be mutter. So many are makel because they think we paskin like the Chazon Ish. And even if you don't paskin like the Chazon Ish, as we said, anyway, you have the Raiv and the Rashba to be so mechon. Are there any other tzadim lahakel? So as I said, if there's not a tefach of airspace, it's going to be mutter. Even if there is a tefach of airspace, note 71 in the Deer Shoe quotes Rosh Shlomo Zalman, this is also Shmir Shabbos Kilchas Chaf Hei, that he's makel if there's a pot handle. Why? Because when there's a pot handle, it's nicker that it's not meant as an ohel, it's just meant as a pot cover. It's not like the case of spreading the cloth on top of the barrel that looks like an ohel. So the answer is, according to Shlomo Zalman, it would be no problem when we're dealing with a chicken soup pot cover, because they always have handles. The only time it could come up, as I said, what type of pot covers don't have handles? All pot covers have handles. It comes up with the aluminum pans, the disposable aluminum trays. Those covers don't have handles. It's either a piece of aluminum foil or those, you know, covers that come with them. But usually those are going to be mutter anyway. Why? Because rarely do you have a tefach from the top of the food to the bottom of the cover. And therefore, typically, this is going to be okay. You could have a case if you had one of those bigger aluminum trays that are more than a tefach. They're slightly more than a tefach, the really tall ones. And they were mostly empty. They had something very flat on the bottom, I guess. Conceivably, you could have a case where it would be aser if you all the Mishnah Berurah, though, as we mentioned, the Chazon Ish is makel, and even the Mishnah Berurah says, Anlam chos b'mekilim, because many Rishonim are makel. So you could actually have a case, it's not very common, where, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it would be problematic to cover a pot. But assuming you hold a Rosh Shlomo Zalman's kula that when there's a handle on the pot cover, it's mutter. So I would say that it's pretty rare that this would actually be usser. Yes, Yoni.
Why isn't the Mishnah Berurah's chumrah? It sort of seems against the Gemara in Kof Lamed Ches, right? The heterim of kisei traskol, the case of mita, like Rashi describes the case of mita, is just taking a bed and like flipping it into position, like it's
right.
Up
so
on
that's end. That's one piece, and you're just either it's like a folding chair or folding table where it's basically made and you're just opening it's asui kfar, or it's just, you know, leaning against the wall and now you're pushing it over. Whereas in the case of a pot cover and a pot, there really are two separate pieces, and I agree. If you had, let's say the garbage cans we were talking about before, sometimes the garbage cans have the cover on them on hinges, right? You don't take it off. You just, you know, pop it up and pop it back down. That would be okay. I think that would be okay. But when you have a cover that's a separate piece, so then that's where the Mishnah Berurah thinks it would be.
In a chinami, meaning, yes, but if the Mishnah Berurah considers movement of the walls as an asiyah of the walls, then now you moved it into a new position. So if the Gemara doesn't think that moving or even unfolding a roof into position is called asiyah of a roof because it was there already, then how is it shaykh to say that just moving walls from one place to another is like being machadesh something, that now I consider that I made walls?
I hear what you're saying. I have to admit that intuitively the approach of the Chazon Ish, who disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah about this, to me is much easier to understand. I suppose the answer is that you didn't have walls here. Over there, again, we don't see it as making an OL because the whole thing was made, you're just moving it. But over here, since the walls weren't here, it's usher. That's the way he looks at it. But I intuitively agree with you, and you're just, I think, reiterating, if I understood correctly, the point of the Chazon Ish, and that this shouldn't be like making new walls. I think that many poskim, the Orach HaShabbos, I think, was sort of noted this way, that you could be Somech on the Chazon Ish against the Mishnah Berurah to some degree. And it is certainly, to me, a position I think that's a little easier to understand. Okay, so let's go on. We referred before to the issue of the sugya about wearing a hat on Shabbos. So this is a Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Ches on the base. The Gemara over there is mechalek between a hat that's mehadek and lo mehadek. And the question is, what's the Isser in the first place? So Rashi says that this Gemara, the restriction on wearing a hat, has nothing to do with Oel at all. It has to do with a concern that you might come to do Hotzah. Those of us who have hats know that every so often a big gust of wind comes, it blows your hat away, and you might then go ahead and walk four amos before you put it back on. And therefore, there's a concern of Shema Yavi Renu Dalet Amos Bershus Arabim, so it's Aser. And that's why the Gemara says, if the Kova is Mehudak, if it's a very tight hat, so then this concern doesn't exist, and it's Mutter. A loose hat might be blown off, and therefore it's Aser. Tosfos, though, says, no, the concern here is one of Ohel. And the difference is the size of the brim. If it has a big brim that's strong and sturdy, then it's more like an OL. Now, these two deos, the Magen Avraham and Siman Shin Aleph, Sif Kata Nun Aleph, says, really emerge from the two Havanos of the Rush. Remember, the Rush said it's only Asar and Shabbos if you make walls, but he said there's an exception. And he sort of gave two reasons for the exception, as the Magen Avraham quoted. What are the two reasons? If it's binyan chashav, then it's aser even when it doesn't have walls. And if it's asui lahol itself, then it's aser. So if you think that the second answer is correct, so then a hat will be aser, because it's not a binyan chashav, but it is meant to provide shade. Whereas if you think the first answer is the ikar, then it's going to be aser because of shade. So if you learn like Rashi, let's say, if you learn like the first answer that it's only aser with a binyan chashav, then you're going to have to learn the Gemara like Rashi, that the iser is al totsa. I'm going to have run sort of a little bit oversimplifying, but that's more or less what he says. And Simen Shin Aleph Sif Katan Nun Aleph. Now, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So first of all, I should say, before we get there, that, So if we're going to say, going back to that Magen Avraham, if we're going to say that it's Aser al Ohel, what's the Magen Avraham basically saying? It's Aser because of Ohel only when the brim is meant to provide shade. In other words, if the brim is not meant to provide shade, then even Tosfos would say it wouldn't be Aser. So Lemashal, everybody would agree that wearing a hat inside a house would be mutter, even if the brim is a tefach. Why? Because it's not providing any shade inside a house. The Machmirim are talking about a case of outside. Inside also, obviously, there's no issue of Hotzah. Though it's interesting, because if you look at the tour over there in Simin Shin Aleph, he says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Aser, even inside the house. And that's really the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. We'll read the Shulchan Aruch in a moment, that is Choshesh for both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So let's just take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Again, we're going back to Simin Shin Aleph.
Rabbi.
Just 1 second. Shin Aleph Sif Mem. Kova Shehu Mispashet Lahalam Mirosho Tefach, a hat that extends beyond your head, a tefach or more. Asher alanicho b'rosho afilu b'bayis. It's asher even in the house. Mishum ohel, because of ohel. Mem aleph. Latzis b'shabes b'kova sheb'rosho asui lahagein mepnei achama. Yesh misha oser mishum dechayshinan sheagbihanu haruach me'rosho v'asil asuye arba amos b'rshus harabim. There are those that are machmir because of a chash hotzah. Elim kain, whom hudak berosho, unless it's on tight. Oshu amok berosho, shirosho nechnas atocho, v'ein haruach yachol hafrido, unless there's no chance the wind, or it's not likely the wind's going to blow it off. Oshu kasher beritzua, if you have like a strap underneath your hat. Tachas grono, under your neck. V'chiyay gavna, lekalameichosh lemidi. So that's a psak of the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, more or less, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for both shitos. There's a concern of ohel, and there's also a concern of hotzah. Are there any tzadim lahakel on this? So if we look at the Magen Avraham, Sif Kata Nun Aleph, he says there are a couple of tzadim. Number one is he notes that the Rambam writes that this isser only applies if the hat is kasha biyoser. It's very sturdy. Now, the Shulchan Aruch did not mention this, so it's sort of interesting that the Magen Avraham thinks we would follow it. The Machzis HaShekel explains the Shulchan Aruch, of course, accepts the psak of the Rambam. He didn't need to mention it because that's the way most hats are. So if you have a hat which is soft, it's not kasher b'yoser, it's going to be mutter. I remember the first time I ever bought a hat, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to the hat store, and they suggested that I buy a Borsellino. So I said, why would I buy a Borsellino when the other hats are half the price? So they told me, because it's softer. The cheap hats are hard, and Borsellinos are very soft. So I asked, why would I care if my hat is soft? But what I should have asked is, what they should have answered was, the reason why we want it to be soft is so that way you could wear it on Shabbos. Anyhow, the Rambam writes it has to be hard, kasha b'yoser. So if it's a softer hat, it would be mutter. Another kula that the Magen Avraham quotes is from the Hagos Maimonios, that if it's meshupa klape mata, it's mutter. And the Mishnah Brura Simin Kuf, Sifkatan Kufnan Aleph quotes this as well. And he says, because if it's not hard or it's facing down, it's not similar to ohel. In other words, the concern here is atu oel kavua, and That's generally the iser of ol arai is atu ol kavua. And a hat is only going to be similar to an ol kavua if it's hard and facing outwards, as opposed to slanting down or soft. Now, it is a chiddush to be mako, especially if you hold to the Rush, that this is not a mezunder gzeira, but rather just an application of the normal rule that anything that's meant to be mahil, to provide shade, is usser. Because then I would think it should be usser, even if it's not soft, if it's not hard, or even if it's facing downwards a little bit, but it's meant to provide shade. Now, the Mishnah Berurah, though, based off of the Taz, says that if you're not miskaven the levishaso to be shade, you're just wearing your hat, and this is what's in style, so then it would be mutter, based off of that Rush. And that's why I think typically, you know, luckily now that hats with small brims are back in style. So anyway, it's going to be mutter because none of the brims are a tefach anymore. But I think, you know, a while back when big wide brims were in style, I don't know, I think probably sometimes they were more than a tefach. But it could be that it would be mutter anyway, because nobody wears a black hat, even with a very big brim, because they're trying to provide shade for themselves. You know, there's nothing, wearing a black felt hat in the summer, in the sun, is probably heating you up a lot more than it is providing you shade. It's there for style, and therefore you could make the case that, you know, the standard of black hats that people wear on Shabbos, even if they are more than a tefach, should really be mutter. And that point is made by, among others, Rav Elyashiv, quoted in footnote 105 in the Deer Shoe. Now, another question, just one more thing, and then I'll take your questions. What about the other concern that Rashi has about Hotzah? So why aren't we worried about the hat blowing off in the wind? So the question is, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes, and this is the Beis Yosef, actually. The Beis Yosef says that if you don't wear a yarmulke, then it's going to be mutter, according to Rashi. Why? Because you wouldn't walk four amos, right? Let's say I'm walking in Washington Heights, and I think that Washington Heights is a Rishus HaRabim. So, and my hat blows off during the week, let's say. So will I immediately put my hat back on as soon as I pick it up, or might I walk four amos while holding it? Well, the answer is, if I'm wearing a yarmulke, then I might walk four amos. If I'm not wearing a yarmulke, then I will not. So therefore, there are those that are machmir, that if you watch Rav Tursky on Shabbos, for example, not to go outside with a hat on Shabbos if they're also wearing a yarmulke. They only wear a hat outside if they're not wearing a yarmulke, to be choshish for Rashi. Now, it comes out tricky if you're also machmir to treat your hat as a beged miyuchad l'tefila and not bring it into the bathroom. Then you have to make sure to plant yarmulkes in all the places that you might be on Shabbos. But anyway, that's a separate chumrah, which is also a bit of a chumrah if you generally do wear your hat outside, not just for davening, but that's a different issue. So lemaisa, what comes out is that if you have a loose hat that's easily blown off in the wind, then, and you're not, you are wearing a yarmulke, most people wear a yarmulke and a hat, then you should be machmir not to wear it outside on Shabbos. So Rav Eliashiv, which is quoted in Dirshu note 107, writes that the velt that does this anyway is somechan erev for this. What does he mean? There are lots of people, let's say over here where I live in Passaic, lots of people don't use the erev. But it's not like they don't use, think the Erev doesn't work in the Karadin. They're choshish l'chumra. But in this case, there's so many other sfeikos. First of all, maybe the Erev works. And im tim talomra doesn't, maybe we pass on like Tosfos, not like Rashi, that that the issue is alts ohel and not shemayadi renu. So all those other sniffim, it's a derabanan, chshash. So then, for these purposes, they're so mechani Erev. But for other purposes, you know, for outright carrying, then they wouldn't be samichan erev. What about a baseball cap? So baseball cap is perhaps much more of an issue. Not for Rashi, because baseball for Rashi is a simple solution. You could just, usually they're adjustable. You can make it pretty tight. It shouldn't blow off in the wind. But for Tosfos, because the brim of the baseball cap really is asui letzel. So not always. Some people wear baseball caps for style. They wear baseball caps at night and when it's not sunny and when it's not raining. But let's say you are wearing it for tzel. It's sunny outside and that's why you want to wear a baseball cap. Or it's raining outside and that's why you want to wear a baseball cap. And l'chora, the baseball, they are kasha bioser. Again, the borsalinos, maybe those aren't kasha bioser. Those are pretty flimsy and soft. But baseball caps are kasha bioser. And at least, so I measured, I didn't get the chance, you guys could do your homework and see if I'm right. I measured a couple of baseball caps that I happened to have in my house for this year. They were all less than a tefach. So that would be okay. Could be that they have baseball caps that are bigger than a tefach. You'd have to check. I didn't do a systematic survey, but the ones I happened to measure were less than a tefach. Okay, there were a number of questions. Gabe.
I know that lots of people say that, at least by a talis, I imagine by a hat also, that having a hat on during davening, like, creates more of a sense of privacy or more of a sense of like being like set off from everyone else. So chayra, that is kavanas oihel, isn't it? That
no, I don't think so, and I don't think that's why anybody wears a hat outside.
That's why Rav Blachman always used to tell us that we should get a talis. It's the only way to daven with kavana.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You can ignore all that maratz that everyone else is doing.
Good. So that's why maybe some people wear a talis. But I don't think a hat does that too much for you, unless you cover your face. Okay. I wanted to do a lot more. Maybe it'll be a little bit more bekitzer. It's mevuar in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch over here that you're allowed to use a mishameres for rimonim. So why should that be? In other words, you're putting the mishameres on the barrel or pot or something like that. A mishameres is a filter of some sort of cloth. Not because you want a filter, but tola mishameres to filter is aser, but litlos borimonim is mutter. So if you learn like the rashba l'chora, it should be okay because it's not asu l'shtamish tachta. But if it's also at sale, it would be aser. So we have a number of Rishonim who sort of asked this question. And give different answers. In other words, again, Tlias HaMeshameres is aser, Litlos Bo Rimonim is mutter, and the question is why. So Rashi says, because it's not Uvdin Dechol, because it's not Shaykh to Meshamer. In other words, he sees the issue of Tlias HaMeshameres is not having to do with Olo. It's also in the Chol. And then the Chilak is very easy to understand. The Ramban says that the Chilak is that when you're Tola for Lishmarim, so you're Motcha Yafe, Tola L'Rimonim, you're not spreading it tightly, and therefore it's not like an Olo. Rabbeinu Yonah answers the Chilak like we said before, which is it depends, the Rashba's Chilak, if you Sarach L'Shtameish Ba'avir Shetachtav. Now, this discussion brings us to another interesting issue, which is sometimes why is it mutter to make hang the talisos, let's say, like on Simchas Torah over the Chasen Torah? Isn't that making a roof? It's called an arim. So the answer is that's going to be okay. That's just asui l'kavod. It's not asui l'tzel. That's going to be okay. Okay, turning to the question of mechitzos. So what's the din for mechitzos arai? Are you allowed to make mechitzos arai? So the Gemara in Tzadi Gimel and Erev and Tzadi Gimel on the base going on to Tzadi Dalet and Aleph tells us a story of the mechitza between the backyards of Rav and Shmuel. It fell down on Shabbos and Shmuel put it up and the Gemara asks, why is that mutter? And the Gemara says, well, it was mutter because he just put it up for tznius. So even though it's making a wall, since it's not, it was just mechitza l'tznius, it's mutter. So Rashi on Shabbos, Kuf Chafem and Beis, says, you see from there that there's never an issur of making mechitzos arai on Shabbos. The only issur of olal is when it's a horizontal, but not vertical. Rashi asks on himself, what about pkaka chalom? Kakachalim, we say it's mutter maybe because it's mosif alo'al, but it's not, otherwise it would be aser, even though it's vertical. So if Rashi says, if I'm right, that the only time there's an iser of ol is when it's horizontal, not vertical, why do we need a special heter of pekak that it's mosif? Rashi in Kuf Chaf Hei Amud Beis and Shabbos answers that Shani Hassam, Shinira kemosif al binyan keba. No, that case is worse. A pekak hachalon is basically you have a wall and there's a hole in the wall. And you put this board in to sort of plug up the hole in the wall. That is not like oel arai. That looks like binyan kavua. So if it wasn't for the fact that it's mosif, that's why we would have asered it. But if you look at the Marshal, he changes the girsan Rashi based off of Rashi on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis and Rashi and Erevin, where Rashi answers no, that the whole sugya over there is talking about a pekak that's on the window. It's talking about a aruba, a sunroof. So it is actually horizontal, and that's why it's aser. So more or less, Rashi's klal is anytime it's vertical, it's mutter. The only shaila is horizontal. Tosfos over there asks on Rashi from Erevin Mem Dalet Amud Aleph by making a third wall for the sukkah. The Gemara over there, it's also Gemara in Sukkah, says that if you're missing a wall in your sukkah, you could make the fourth wall because it was kosher anyway, three walls, but you can't make a third wall. Now, according to Rashi, it shouldn't be true. There should be no Isser over there making the third wall of the sukkah because it's vertical. Now, if you actually take a look at Rashi over there, sounds like his answer is the very lumdish answer, which is by making the third wall, you give the schach, a shame schach, and you're therefore effectively making a gag, right? The Karban Nisano on the Rush, Yud Zayin Ches, Simen Ches on the Rush, Os Kuf, gives that answer as well. In other words, there you're making a roof, because the third wall gives a chalos to the roof. Okay. But Tosa says, no, you see from there a different principle, which is even though usually making a wall is mutter, but if it's a mechitza hamateres, that's aser. A mechitza that has halachic significance, it's matir, something like eating in a sukkah. So then it's aser. When is making a wall mutter? When it's litzniusa be'alma. When is making a wall aser? When it's matir. So you couldn't make a mechitza for a sukkah. You couldn't make a mechitza on Shabbos, even though it's vertical, that's matir tiltol. But again, if it's just litznius, then it's mutter, like when you give a drush on a base medrash. So what's the pshat in this iser? We'll leave that aside. It's very late. Anyway, Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Tezvav, Sif Aleph, Paskins like Tosfos. So what's considered a machitza materas? So we know certain cases are clear. That's matir tiltel, matir sukkah. But what about a very common question that comes up is to be matir tashmish amita. In the olden days, this was also a shiloh to be matir. People used to go to the bathroom in their rooms at night. They didn't want to go outside. But for us, that's not really an issue. But it's very common shiloh that comes up to be matir tashmish amita. What does it mean? There's a couple that goes away for Shabbos, and their hosts put them in a room full of svarim. If it's just a couple of svarim, you know, okay, it's in a set of mikros gedolos, so it's easy enough, you know, you put it in a closet or something. But this is like mamish, a whole bookcase, hundreds of svarim. So what is the couple meant to do? So the answer is you can make a machitza. And if there's a hafsek machitza between the svarim and the people, then it would be mutter tav tashmish. That's, by the way, even if the svarim aren't entirely covered, if it's a lachik machitza, like it's 10 tfachim tall, then that would be matir tashmish hamita. So that's all fine and dandy if you remember to do this before Shabbos. Before Shabbos starts, you take a sheet, you hang it from the bookcase. Hopefully you keep the door to your room closed so nobody notices. So that could be okay. According to Mishnah Berurah, by the way, there's an interesting machlokas here between the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish that comes up in a lot of places. The Mishnah Berurah holds that it has to be a wall that doesn't blow around in a Ruach Mitsuya. So it has to be tight. In other words, just hanging a sheet wouldn't be enough. The Chazon Ish says, no, there's no wind in your roof, in your room, it's inside. Right, if this was outside, it wouldn't be a mechitza because it would billow in the wind. If it's inside, it's going to stay still. Let's assume for a moment, like the Chazon Ish. So if you went ahead and you set up your sheet before Shabbos on top of the svarim, so then it would be okay. However, let's say you forgot. Oh no, now it's a Friday night, it's 11 o'clock, and I forgot to set up the machitza before Shabbos. And onas Talmud Chacham this Friday night, what are you going to do? Or you couldn't set it up before Shabbos because people were going to go into your room. It wouldn't be very, it's neistic to let announce to everybody what your plans are for that night. So you couldn't really hang up the sheet before Shabbos. Is there anything you could do? Again, if you could hang it up before Shabbos, and leave a tefach open and then hang the rest down, that would be okay. So what we need to do is figure out, is this considered a mechitza materas? On the one hand, we could argue, yes, of course, it's materas. It's matir, something that would otherwise be usher in this room. What do I mean to say? It would be usher right now, without this curtain, it's usher tef tashmish, and by hanging the curtain, it now becomes mutter tef tashmish. That's a mechitza materas. However, not everybody agrees that that should be considered a machitza mataras. So who's machmir on the shayla? The machmir view is the Mordechai, quoting a Maharam. It's the Mordechai Shabbos Simen Shin Yud Aleph. It's on page 144 in the old-fashioned Vilna Shasin. And I'll read you what he says. Becheder shaya yashen bo Maharam haya bo svarim. Uvechol laila haya osa mechitza asara tfachim gova b'fnei asfarim. So every night he would hang a mechitza 10 tfachim to separate the svarim so he could go to the bathroom in his room. Uvechol erev Shabbos haya osa mechitza mi ba'od yom. So he used to do the mechitza mi ba'od yom. He would hang the mechitza. And Bilel Shabbos haya poshta lamata. Why? Because it would be otherwise aser because it's a mechitza mataras. So that was the Maharam. So he would roll it, he would leave it partially opened. I guess Friday night he wanted to learn to get to his farm, but then he would finish unfolding it. That's what he says. But he says that of a mechitza she'osa letznias ba'alma mutter, kegon mechitza she'osa b'shas hadrasha, bein anashim lenashim, then mutter la'sosa b'shabes. That's considered snias. Now, the question is, what is the gadir hadavar? In other words, let me say it a little differently. Why is it mutter for a drasha? Right? If it's aser for tashmish, why is it mutter for a drasha? Now, this actually, I'll just mention it because it's sort of interesting. There's a big deal in the poskim about what this Mordechai teaches us about the obligation to have a mechitza separating men and women at a drasha. It's clear that the Mordechai assumed that that's what was done. In other words, they used to have mechitzos at their drashos. But what does the Mordechai prove, show us about the nature of that obligation? So there's a Sri De'esh, Yaakov Yechon Weinberg, a very famous tshuva, Tzchelek Aleph Simen Ayin Zayin. And he says, you see from here that the Mordechai didn't hold there was a fundamental iser to have them, or a chiyuv, to have a mechitza in a drasha. It was just litznias. But it wasn't a chiyuv. Because if it was a chiyuv, if it was aser to give the drasha without a mechitza, so then it would be aser to put it up on Shabbos. It would be just like putting it up to be matir tashmish amita. So you see from here that it's a midas chasidus. It's only a midas chasidus. It's not like tashmish in front of svarim. That's an iser. But if it's a midas chasidus, so then it's mutter. Therefore, you see from the Mordechai that it's not an absolute obligation. If it's a midas chasidus, once something is a midas chasidus, then it's a little different. I thought you could sort of say it a little differently. You could have still said that there's a din that has to be something, but it doesn't have tyrus, need to be tyrus mechitza, like the Gemara in Sukkah talks about, like putting like shards or things that would make noise between a man and a woman. It doesn't have to be mechitza, just it's to be something that you can't, that would prevent mingling. Anyhow, the Rav Menashe Klein says, Fakert, you see from this Mordechai, it's if you want shuvos, Mishnah Halacho Simen, Chelak Yabe Simen, Simen Shin Tes. Now, if you learn, by the way, like that Sri De'esh, that you think that's a good diuk, then maybe if you think that there's a chiyuv to have a mechitza during davening, it would be aser to be making such a mechitza. Anyway, the Mishnah Halacho says no. He says it is an absolute chiyuv to have a mechitza between men and women during a shir. Everybody takes for granted you can't have mixed seating during a shir. After all, the Gemara in Sukkah tells you that even at a levaya, based off of the pasuk in Zechariah, you need separate seating. The shaila is only do you need a mechitza or a separate seating enough. So he says, no, it is a chiyuv gamor, and you see from the Mordechai that's a chiyuv gamor. And the Mordechai isn't saying there isn't a chiyuv gamor. It's not a chumra yaseir. He actually refers to the Sri De'esh not by name, I think. But Lamaisa, he says that it is a chiyuv gamor. But still, when it's a chiyuv gamor al tznias, it's still a begader mechitza letznias, which is mutter. It's hard for me to understand that svara exactly. He's mechalik between a mechitza bifnei svarim, which is a din, not just al tznias, and a mechitza that's just al tznias, even though it's mandatory that we don't say it's a mechitza materas. According to that explanation, then, the mechitza to be matir davening might also be mutter. Anyhow, now obviously this whole iser is only if you learn like Tosfos, right? If you learn like Rashi, there's nothing to talk about. Now, the problem with this chumra of the Mordechai, of the Maharam, is that it's against another Gemara. What Gemara is it against? So if we take a look, this question is already asked by the Darkei Moshe and the Taz. Take a look at the Darkei Moshe for a moment with me, because there's a very interesting ha'ara to be made over here. As the footnotes point out, it's a Darkei Moshe Os Dalid. Again, we're in Siman Shin Tes Vav. So, the Tzarch Iyun, Meha de Mashma, Perek Beis de Beitza, de Mutter Lassus Mechitza Lefnei Or Haner, Kedei L'Shamesh Mitasu B'Yom Tov. The Gemara over there is discussing whether you're allowed to put out a candle on Yantif to have Tashma Shamita. It's also Aser to have Tashma Shamita B'Fnei Haner. And the Gemara says, no, there's no need to put out the fire because you could just make a mechitza. So what do you see from there? See from there, klar, you're allowed to make a mechitza to be matir tashmish. So this seems to be an outright contradiction to the Maharam. There are those that try to make that answer. He says it doesn't make any sense to say that. Now that, by the way, is more or less the opinion of the Taz and the Elia Rabbah, to be mechalek bein Shabbos liyantif. Why would you make such a chiluk between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the idea is that really on Shabbos it's also mutter mikra hadin, as we'll see in a moment. Why is it mutter on Shabbos? Because you could solve the problem differently, right? You could put a kli on top of the svarim, or the candle, I should say. You could put a kli on top of the candle. You could move the svarim. You could cover the svarim. So you don't need a mechitza to be matir. And I, the Maharam, is machmir, chumra. But the Darkei Moshe doesn't like that answer of the Taz, because it sounds like the Maharam thought it was Asr Medina. If something's Asr Medina, it's not a good reason to be mechalek between Shabbos and Yantif. If you think something's a chumra, Epis, a chumra be'alma, so okay, Ken Zayin, you could say that we're a little more makel on Yantif. Beiner l'chal, so that's the Afshar, says the Rama, de begemara nami lo ke'amar de Afshar lasos mechitza b'fnei or haner, el kvar sha'asa k'derech sha'asa maram. Okay, it means that, I guess, that they already had a mechitza before Shabbos and you're just extending it. So according to the Rama, it's asr also b'fnei haner. So if we have two answers. We have the Rama who says it's always Aser, and the case in Gemara Beitza is Mosifal Ohel, and the case of the answer the Taz, which is it's Mutter on Yantif and it's just a Chumra Ba'alma on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah Brura has a Kula, which is basically from the Maharam, Magen Avraham, a very interesting Kula. And we're Somech on this Lamaisa, which could sort of solve your problem, which is that it's only going to be Aser, and this answers the question from Beitza, it's only going to be Aser when you need a mechitza, halachic mechitza. But if you don't need a halachic mechitza, it's mutter. So for example, if I could solve this problem without a halachic mechitza, like then it's not a mechitza materes, even if I happen to be making a halachic mechitza. So let's take the case for the svarim. There's the svarim are in the room. So I could be matir it in two ways. Either I could cover the svarim, let's say kiss betoch kiss, or I could make a mechitza, and that's good enough, because that makes it like it's in a separate rishus. So then, as long as I cover it. So what could I do? So one eitz I could do is instead of putting one sheet on the bookshelf, I'll put two sheets on the bookshelf. It happens to be it, and I'll make sure to cover all the svarim, not just a 10 tefachim worth, but I'll make sure to cover all of it. So I'll take two sheets and I'll hang it from the top. And that also, by the way, solves the Mishnah Berurah's other concern about their billowing in the wind. Because this doesn't need Tyrus Mechitza, that in which case, if it could blow in a Ruach Mitzuya, it would be Aser, according to the Mishnah Berurah. Because this is just a kiss betoch kiss. So the Eitza is like this. The Eitza is, go ahead, especially if you can't do this before Shabbos or you forgot. So you have this bookshelf. You go to the top of your bookshelf. You take two sheets. Now it's kiss betoch kiss. You hang them from the top of the bookshelf all the way to the bottom, you know, big flat sheets. And then you're not really, it happens to be maybe you did make a mechitza, but you didn't need a mechitza. This could have been mater even without Torah's mechitza, because this is kiss betoch kiss, right? This is a double obstruction. Another tzad l'hakel is that a lot of times bookshelves are more than 40 saw, which according to some poskim make them be considered in a separate rishus. That could also sometimes be. So as an eitza, if you get stuck, I think that you could be someich on that kula of the Mishnah Berurah. There are those, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Yud notes that there are those that argue with this kula of the Magen Avraham. But I think you could be mako on this, especially if you, there's no other good option. So again, the way to do that is just to hang a double covering over the whole bookshelf, all the svarim, which is a little bit of a patchka, but oftentimes is pretty doable. Now, what about, we alluded to before, the question of a mechitza and shul. So one could argue that if you hold, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Tes, that there's a real din that you need a mechitza. Rav Moshe even holds it's a din d'oraisa. Others held it was a din d'rabbanan, like the Rav. But regardless, it's a mamish a din. So then it should be aser. And especially if you hold like the Maharam. So the Aruch HaShabbos says no. It's going to be mutter. Why? And this would also be another way to explain the hatter of the drasha in the shir. Because a mechitza in shul doesn't need dine mechitza. And not only that, but a din mechitza isn't enough. For example, a mechitza has to be 10 tfachim. Rav Moshe says, 10 tfachim, that's not enough. You can't daven in a shul with 10 tfachim. It needs to be 60 inches. Okay. He was very makel. He thought that 60 inches is enough, even though you could see the women's heads, because the goal of the mechitza is to just prevent intermingling, according to Rav Moshe. So shoulder height's also good enough. But 10 tefachim wouldn't be enough. So if it was tolui in a chalol shei mechitza, then it would be aser on Shabbos, right? So tashmash shamita b'fnei asfarim is tolui in a chalol shei mechitza, right? If you put up 10 tefach mechitza between you and the svarim, you could have tashmash shamita, even though the svarim are still eminently visible, because it's tolui in a shem mechitza. Masha ein kain, in a shul, it has nothing to do with, we might call it a mechitza, but it has nothing to do with halachic mechitza. It has to do with a barrier that prevents intermingling. And that's why, for example, let's say you have a mechitza that's made out of a cloth, hanging cloth that would blow around in a mechitza in a ruach metzuya inside. That would be mutter, even according to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that's not a halachic mechitza. Yeah, but this has nothing to do with a halachic mechitza. Now, in theory, let's say they say over, some people say over in the name of the Rav, that the Rav was matir, that a shul could have a mechitza that's 10 tfachim tall, because 10 tfachim is a mechitza. I shall tell you, Ray Willig said he never heard that from the Rav. He sounds like he didn't think the Rav really said that. But there are those that say that in the name of the Rav. So then, if you think that the reason why it's mutter to put up a mechitza in shul is because it doesn't have a, it's not tali in halachic mechitzos. So then, according to that psak of the Rav, it should be aser. Nevertheless, the Rav was matir, that you, it's not a shayla on Shabbos. Okay, maybe that's because Ray Willig's right. He never said 10 tefachim. Lemaisa, that's a minhag ha'olam. So it's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter. All right. There's really so much more to say about this. So much more I want to talk about. I'll tell you just a couple of more quick haros, but we don't have time to get into any of these details. Another example of boneh, the Gemara in Sadi Hayamid Aleph says, making braids on Shabbos. How does that have to do with boneh? Vayiven Elokim Esatzelam Alamed Shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'chava. And in Karchei Hayam, Koren L'Kliyasa B'niyasa. So it's a type of binyan. It's Machlokas Tanayim, whether it's Aser Deraisa or not, we paskin that it's Aser only Midirabana. So you can't braid your hair on Shabbos because of boneh. Either derisa or we pass into Rabbanan. Now that's important also because you can't unbraid on Shabbos because of Soser. So that's an important halacha that women have to know. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, and again, oftentimes everybody knows you can't braid on Shabbos, but sometimes people don't remember that you can't unbraid on Shabbos. Shulchan Aruch says, though, you could part your hair. That's not considered braiding. Some poskim say that you can't curl your hair either. It's the same type of thing. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if you already have peyos and you're just continuing to curl them, that's okay because it's already there. Like you'll see Hasidic kids are always twirling their peyos. So he said that's okay because the curls are already there before Shabbos. But to like make them from scratch, Shlomo Zalman sounds like that would be usher. So the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa says you can't give any shape to your hair. So Shlomo Shabbos says there's an issue with hairspray. Other poskim, I think Rabbi Ribia was makel about this, because you just spray your hair to keep the shape the way it was, sort of like Shlomo Zalman said by the peyos. But you're not creating a shape with the hairspray. You know, the idea, I think, of hairspray for most people is, you know, they shape the hair, they want their hair to stay in shape. You know, they're afraid that they have a poof here and they're going to go to shul and it's going to blow away. So they spray their hair so it keeps it. So that's why many poskim are makel for hairspray. Okay. Another issue that comes up in terms of boneh is the issue of mechabed and merabets. There's a machlokas between the Blazim Chachamim and Sadi Hamid Aleph about mechabed and merabets. If it's aser because of boneh, midiraisa or midirabanan, because we know mash vegumos is chayiv mishum boneh if it's in the house. So the Gemara seems to conclude that maybe merabets is mutter, because we pass in like Reb Shimon, but mechabed, sweeping, is still usher. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. So Tosfos says, Tosfos addresses the question of sweeping, both Tosfos and Shabbos Tzadi Hei. Okay, Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph. And he writes that the Behag was Matir sweeping because we paskin like Reb Shimon. In other words, when the Gemara says it's Mutter, Idna Dekanalan Krebi Shimon, Shari Afil Chatchila, the Behag said that means even sweeping is Mutter. But the Re disagreed and he said, no, the Gemara sounds like it's also to sweep on Shabbos. And if sweeping is mutter on Shabbos, it should be a kalishim lachdol heter. So kibud is aser l'kulei alma. Why? Not because of binyan, but because of tiltal muksa. As opposed to spritzing the water, the rebuts, that's mutter. Fine. So there's a number, we talked about this extensively in the summer when we did Muksa, so I don't want to go into that again. Some Rishonim say sweeping is Aser Alts. Some say it's Aser Alts Muksa, and some Rishonim say it's Mutter entirely. So we talked about the Muksa aspect of this extensively last summer. How do you solve the Muksa issue? Some solve the muksa issue if you think it's mutter because it's a graf shel rei, in which case it would only sometimes be mutter, perhaps. Some say because it's tiltum and atzad letzarch damar mutter. Some say it's only mutter if you swept before Shabbos because then the crumbs that you're sweeping are royal achila and they're not even muksa. And this is a big machlokas haposkim, as we discussed. Meisen Shulchan Arsim and Shin Lamed Zayin Sif Beis, the sheet of the Rambam is quoted, that kibud is aser, but ributz is mutter. But if it's merutzaf, it's mutter. Meaning, say, if you live in a place, if your house has paved floors, wood or stone or the like, so then there's no iser of hashvas gumos. But in a dirt floor, it would be aser. So obviously, you have to. There's no concern for muksa. However, the Rama writes that even if it's paved, it's aser, or gozer atu enu merutzav. So according to the Rama, if you read the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it should be aser for us to sweep on Shabbos. Why? Because of hashvas gumos. So the Bir Halacha quotes from the Rivash that we're makel if all the houses in the city have paved floors, or maybe even most. Why? Because we're not gozer ir zeh atu ir acheres, or miut atu ro. And that's why it's mutter to sweep on Shabbos. Those of the houses in the city have paved floors. Now, says, well, that only makes sense. The iser is hashvas gumos. But if you think the iser is still alt muksa, it doesn't solve the problem. So, in the end, sounds like we're makil that for whatever reasons we're makil. Either because of Graf Shel Rei or Tiltum Netzad, and we're not worried about Hashvas Gumos because most of our cities are paved floors. We assume that the Ikar Tam for the Ramaz Chomer is because of Hashvas Gumos. And that's the Minog. The Minog is Remeko. You know, I know my kids don't like to sweep on Shabbos. They're probably Choshish for the stringent reading of the Ramah, or they don't hold it the Heter or the Rivash. But everybody else, besides my kids, who don't like to sweep on Shabbos, they're also concerned during the week, they are to Shabbos. But otherwise, we're makel. Very interesting shiloh. So rarely is this an issue. I'll tell you where it could come up on Shabbos, an interesting shiloh that I thought about only this year. This year, the first night of Sukkot, we finished our Suda, and Baruch Hashem, there were lots of crumbs on the floor. Our sukkah was on like a patio on a deck. So, okay, I was going to sweep up after we're done. And they thought, maybe it should be usher for me to sweep. Now, our sukkah, if my sukkah was actually made on the dirt, then it would vade be usher min adin because of hashvas gumos. But my sukkah was built on a deck. So there's no concern of hashvas gumos. But then I thought maybe it should be usher. Why? Because my sukkah was in my chatzer. Maybe rov chatzers aren't paved. And the Ramah explicitly says that that we should be gozer in that case, even if mine is paved, the only reason why we're makel in the house is because we're not gozer miyotah house, but not for a deck, not for a chatzer. So I started looking into it. So I saw that the Orcho Shabbos Perek Yudches Ha'arayim Gimel is it said to be makel. He says that, well, maybe your sukkah is your house, and most houses are paved. Ah, that's a bit of a chiddush, not so pashut. Another svar to be makel is that this isn't really a chatzer, especially a deck. I think you could see as an extension of your house, a separate room. This comes up in other areas of halachos, like, for example, shinui makom for brachos. For example, we assumed it was Kiddush B'Makom Suda. We washed in the house and we went to the sukkah. Sukkah is right up next to the house, and the deck is right up next to the house. We didn't say it was a shiloh. Shinui Makom, it was still Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So, and it's also nafkamina making brachos going inside and outside. You have to worry about Shinui Makom for brachos or Kiddush B'Makom Suda. We're mako on that. So therefore, this isn't really a chatzar. It's an extension to my house. Now, that kula wouldn't necessarily help, though, if, let's say, you put your sukkah on your driveway. Shlomo Zalman Arbach had another tzad lahakel. It's not pashut. You could make the case that if the sukkah is in your driveway, that it should be aser. One tzad to be makel is that we don't really have, our backyard isn't a chatzer. A chatzer means a place where you do rov teshmishi bais. You can't really say that rov are not paved. It's an interesting shot. I think there's probably usually going to be Makom Lahakel, but we'll leave off with an interesting hara, which is maybe it's not so pashut to sweep in the sukkah, especially if not like a deck that's directly attached to your house. Okay, much, much, much more to say. But alas, I think we have to go on finally. So Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to continue on Sunday with Kibboy. Kibboy is before Havara for some reason. So we'll do Kibboy. I don't know how much of this we're going to do, but at the very least, I want to focus on Gram Kibboy and talk about the sugya of Grama in Be'ezus. So this year, Be'ezus Hashem, I'll send you a soon on Sunday, is going to be on the topic of Grama in Kibboy and in Shabbos in general. We'll talk about Grama machines and other such very fascinating topics. A lot of very interesting Lamaisa topics on that. That will be Sunday, Be'ezus Hashem. And I'm sorry for going on for so long. Have a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Rabbi, what's the plan? Are we switching?